Welcome to the Pump It Like Patton Bodybuilding Podcast with your hosts, Mark and Sam. Now, push your limits.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Pump a Leg Patton Bodybuilding Podcast. This is episode 2, and here with the co-owner, Sam. Obviously, we're going to talk about nutrition as the main topic today, but we're going to cover some other topics like workouts, etc. So, enjoy. So, Sam, what is your calorie intake at the minute? What's it sitting on?
My calorie intake at the minute, Mark, is currently sitting about 1900, so about 1900 calories.
That's decent enough.
It is. It's for a cut, to me, it's probably what's best at the moment. Like when you go up, when you get into the 2000 mark, then you're going to more, you're kind of limiting yourself on what if you really want to seriously lose weight. My major meal at the moment of the day would be calorie intake on a daily basis on meals would be about, for breakfast, it's currently the moment between 450 to 500 calories, but that's starting off with breakfast low. There goes it, goes from there. That would be my biggest intake of the day. What about yourself? What would be your biggest meal of the day, and what do you think, and why do you think that is?
I feel that the best meal of the day for me is actually dinner.
Dinner?
Because okay. I feel, because you know, I've took my big breakfast in, obviously, and it's digested, and I'm always active, moving about, and it's coming off, burning off, basically. Mm-hmm. And when it comes to dinner, because I know when you're training, I train at night, so
you need that.
Yeah,
you need that,
and it gives me that pump. I feel pumped though as well, because I would have maybe 2 chicken breasts,
that's good.
An ounce of maybe. Depends what I feel like. We'd have
obviously you vary that up depending on how you feel at the time, but the calorie intake remains the same.
We'd have maybe white rice, brown rice, or I would change it to sweet potato, a bit of veg. Obviously, stick the broccoli.
You vary it up depending on how you're feeling, but the meal, but the energy levels that you have remain the same for training that night.
Yeah, that's. But once I get the training, I can actually feel. Like,
how effective
it's been. Like, maybe if I'm going to do a cardio session, I would have maybe 1 chicken.
Yeah.
You bring the carb. Maybe not even. I might not even take any rice. I maybe just take chicken and broccoli. Sometimes it could be maybe just 2 chicken breasts. Maybe just a slight bit. Maybe just a small. Maybe where your finger and thumb is, just between there, that could be the size of the portion.
Because when you're doing a cardio session, your majority of cardio will be all fast movement, like fast energy session, fast energy movements.
And that's the last thing that you want, to be feeling bloated.
Oh, that's
it's one
of the worst feelings you can feel. But with that section of it, it can heavily affect how your training goes. Like you could get into the gym. And you have the mental capacity and that mental feeling like, right, you're pumped, let's go. But you're feeling because you've heavily filled yourself, but you haven't filled yourself right at dinner, and it can massively affect how your training goes that night.
Yeah, because obviously calories are very important, because people have the misconception that I eat less. Just to burn body fat, basically. That's the way I hear people. But it's not always the case, is it?
I personally remember an effective story to me when I went to school before. There was a girl in our class who was convinced through, I would think it was more of a stereotype of the society we live in, that if you don't eat, if you like lower, not even, she, I don't even think she knew personally about the effectiveness between calorie intake and deficit, but she used to not eat anything. And she was a bigger girl, but she wasn't like overly overweight, but she was convinced that if she like starved herself a mass amount of calories and food, that she'd lose weight. But that's we know ourselves, that's a stigma in the industry.
But it if she did lose weight, have a bit of weight off mm-hmm. it.
But you would at first, you get that buzz from it at first, but it would long term, it's not good for you, and it's definitely not good for your health.
It's not a long term goal, because no, once you start eating proper again, then start putting more on. But anyway, but when she's on losing the body fat and maybe not eating, but the body's going to be eating into the fat, and that's what's going to be storing more on.
Yeah.
People don't understand the way it works.
And as you just said, the moment she starts eating again,
her
body will be craving more and more because she starved herself of it. But that goes into our next major topic about how you want to discuss the effects of fasting and how effective that can be, but also the deficit of it can be to your health. So how would you like to go into that, Mark, my friend? And how would you like to go into it?
Well, basically on a fasting, I would recommend to maybe check with your doctor as well, because there's massive health risks on it, but it is effective. And another thing, I would not, if you're pregnant, anything like that there, I would not advise to fasting. But a recommended for a woman is 500 calories.
And for a man, it's 600 calories.
Yeah.
You should really only, if you're eating 5 days a week, you should only really fast for two of those days.
Yeah. But it can be effective, but it means you're low on carb, low on everything. So you've got to
prioritize your intake of the day and what you want to prioritize in that day.
So as I've talked about before, I don't know if I've talked about it on the podcast actually before, but it's basically why tracking is so important, because it can get it saves you some stress.
Massively.
On trying to work out with your calories, like looking in the back of packaging what this calories are in this here. If you use an app called MyFitnessPal, that's what me and Sam use, and it helps us a lot. It saves time on our day. We're able to
track everything.
Yeah.
It means we can track everything quite well, and we're not stressing over what he's just said, and we're not stressing on what we need to do and what we need to intake. It's everything set up for us, and all you need to do is either scan it, or if it's not there to be, if there's no barcode available for it, you can literally just type it in for it. But with that effects on fasting, MyFitnessPal can be so effective with it, because as I said before, you need to prioritize what you're taking in that day.
Yeah, and your sugar level will be dropped as well. So,
and with massive amounts of energy loss, but it can help you ridiculously on weight loss. But as we've just said, and anyone who knows about it before, who has done it before, could knows the massive health risks that are involved with it. So, Mark, what are the food recommendations for a fasting diet that you've got so far, and with your recent and personal history of fasting before many years ago? Any recommendations on food?
Well, obviously, black coffee is very low. Maybe a low-calorie soup. That would work as well. Boiled or baked eggs.
Not the most exciting, but with fasting, it never is. It shows your ambition about how much you want it.
So grilled fish and lean meats as well, that would be effective toward it. Natural yogurt with berries as well. That's some ideas that what I did, which really helped me. But obviously, you need to work your calories out. So
what's effective for you? What's effective for us might not be what's effective for you. And some things that might work for you might not work for us. But that's just how amazing this business is, and how good fitness can be, and how different it can be for everyone. But those are some suggestions on foods for fasting.
Like this week here, I only dropped my calories this week. Wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. You dropped it this week, my friend.
Yeah, I was.
Some amazing results.
And I've went down to 1,900 calories. I was 16 stone 7, wasn't it?
You were, mate.
And now, by 5 days, I'm down to 16.1. So it shows if you stick to a plan, it can work. And it can work effectively.
Massively.
So what's your favorite post meal
After I finish the workout.
Yeah.
So my favorite post meal for after we go back to the gym, which is usually a very solid session, I might add, considering it's us. it depends on my calories count sitting at that point. On a normal day after the gym, which is usually about 8 o'clock, time I get home, it's usually about 10:30, 10:45. So by the time we get there, my calorie count on a normal day is usually sitting at about 1,600, 700, usually by that time. So I haven't really got much room to work with. So I usually just go, usually quite simple. I usually just take yogurt with blueberries and my protein shake for after. But generally, that's my personal feeling. Honestly, again, as I said, I may have just said this already, but it massively depends where your calorie intake at the point is at that point. So, for example, if I'm working out on a Tuesday, but on, say, the Monday, my calorie intake was lower than it should have been. Say, I only had, like, 1,500 in that day. It gives me a bit more room to work with on that Tuesday on my calorie count, but usually it is only on that point. So, Mark, what about yourself? What would be your favourite post meal after the gym? Again, it does depend on the yourself and calorie intake.
If I've had a not too heavy of a dinner,
yeah,
I would maybe have maybe it depends on the calories you're sitting at, but sometimes it would be I would maybe have a bagel, maybe.
Is it a solid choice? Do you have a set for the with that?
Just have maybe cottage cheese on top of it.
Very solid.
Maybe I wouldn't have like an egg with the yolk in it. Mm-hmm. I would maybe just have egg whites,
very nice. Very
and that's that would end it there. That should be my meal near enough ending on my day of eating.
Last meal.
But see if I've ever like what people don't understand what this can actually help, and it's a trick that I've learned. See when you just say you went over your calories the day before. Mm-hmm. Just say you went over by 200.
So it's a vice versa of what I was talking about. If you went under it, you can work with it. But if you went over it,
so you can save calories. Mm-hmm. So basically, if you went the next day.
So for example, if you did the day before, say your target. For example, our target's 1,900. If we went over it by say 2,100, it means
save the calories and just. Add them in.
Eat a bit less the next day. So it means your the deficit stays the same.
Then the next day, you just add your calories back
again.
So your body tricks. Your body knows things that you don't think that it knows. Like, for instance, a gym session. If I'm going in the train chest and we've been training, I don't know, we go in and we're benching, just say, straight in warm-up set. Then we'll go straight into heavy sets. Your body knows what you're going to be doing before you actually lift that.
Because your body, it's a creature. We're all creatures of habit, and our bodies are exactly the same. If we did the same five workouts every day, exactly the same, no difference, no change. Weight stays, weight maybe uppers a bit slightly depending on our goals at that time, depending we're in bulk or cutting. Your body will sort that out. I remember Conor McGregor saying that you need to change things up and do something different.
Yeah.
So you need to change things up. You need to, as you said yourself, you need to trick it into thinking it knows what's coming when it really doesn't. So then it shocks it, which massively helps with weight loss and with muscle building.
Yeah, it does work it a lot when it comes to muscle building.
And then that goes into the workouts and some supplements changing. What workouts would you suggest when it comes to these in a cutting base? As we'll talk about more of a bulk base when we get into that, when we get the bulking season. But at the moment, what would be the major workouts that you would suggest?
What's my favorite?
For shoulders and chest day, what would be some of the major workouts you suggest for someone who's only getting into this fully, for who hasn't done a cut before, doesn't really know much of an idea, but what workouts would you suggest?
Well, when it comes to cutting, well, I just say this here, my favorite is shoulders when it actually comes to upper body. So I like to overload the shoulders, put so much tension on it.
We definitely know that. he says that with great pleasure, folks, but it's that when you're actually doing it, he's more of a torturing joker in the side going, ah, ah, ah.
That's why I call the shoulder press the torture rack.
The torture rack. Mainly for me, not for him. He goes through it like a working wasp.
No, but I love putting stacking the weight up, but make sure you're able to, like,
when still get that pump.
Yeah, when you push it. If you're pushing it, like, if you got it in your chest, just your arms tight in, and you're just pushing it, and you aren't getting on the full extension, drop the weight.
Because you're not getting that effectiveness out of it. Yeah, you see it all the time, the gym, don't you, really? You see it all the time with all these people that they stack the weight up, and everyone goes, oh, he's trying to lift this. But then if you're not getting the full effectiveness of doing that set, then there's no point doing it.
No.
But what would be, you've talked about, would that be your favourite workout overall in the gym, or do you have, would that just be
what, for my shoulders itself. But I love overloading it. But first, what I do first is I don't put no weight on the bar.
Mm-hmm.
I just warm the shoulder, get some blood flowing in. I do just some pressing just with the bar itself. Yeah. That warms them up a bit. Nothing. For me.
Get your body in that rhythm.
Yeah.
So it means when you go straight into it, your body's not cold in that respect. Yeah. So it means you can go straight into it.
But that's my favorite. I would go with about 20 reps on it.
What would be your set count for that? Three sets?
Three to four
sets, depends how I feel.
If I feel I've done my max on the third set, then that's it.
There's no point going overboard with it and risking injury.
No.
So what about that dreaded meme that goes around in today's age when it comes to them leg day, big chest, no legs? what would be your suggestion? What would be your opinion to someone who's seen all these and look at leg day and go, nah, not for me? What would be your suggestion to them, my friend?
Just remember, your legs are a part of your body.
That's to be honest, man, I'm very surprised. I've been looking for your legs for ages now. I haven't seen you do a leg day in months. But
you weren't saying that the other day.
We're not going to our last leg day, man. I could barely go down the stairs, sliding down it for folks. But no, I had to drive us home. Remember these days? You sit there and die in the corner. I have to drive. But you see it. You know, as I just said, that we're joking about it. But you know yourself. You see people nowadays in the gym who work upper body. You see big chest, big back, open wide back, biceps are pumped. But then you look at your legs and your hand. You can't. It's like searching for the Bermuda Triangle. You're kind of there for a while. But with a leg day, in my opinion, you've talked about your favorite workout, but my favorite workout in the gym is legs, by far.
Yeah,
massively.
I love legs as well. I just love the pump
of it. But with legs, man, it's personally with my genetics of it. I've always had big legs, so I've always had big legs. I remember when I started the gym personally, that we discussed this briefly in our original podcast in episode one, but I didn't train legs for, I'm going to say, probably about a year. I never trained legs, but people would always come up to me and say, what do you do with, how do you personally train your legs? And I would look at them kind of strangely, because I at that point I'd never trained them. So once I got into the rhythm of how I trained them, I remember going into Mark's original shreds on when he done it a few years ago, when we first started to know each other and started to train together slightly, his original shred was massively beneficial for me, because it got me first introduced to legs and how you actually should train them and how really you need to train them, because it's massively wet, because your legs help. If you don't have strong legs, your upper body's not going to help you in that respect when you're doing squats, dead, all that sort of respect.
Because if you've got big legs, you're going to burn a lot of fat in the body.
Massive.
Your body's like got a lot of muscle,
mm-hmm.
you're going to burn a lot of fat as well.
Mm-hmm.
So my favorite on legs, I would say,
your favorite exercise to do with them
would be the leg extensions. I love doing that, the failure. I love doing a few warm-up sets and failing it. And you know the pain of failure on the leg extensions.
At the time, you will think to yourself, why am I doing this? But then when you get up and you just, you nearly fall over when you're
your legs
when
are shaking.
I remember when I first done it, I remember we used to go to a gym called Titan, shout out to them, great gym. We done a leg extensions. Oh, and the pump of it after you nearly fall. I remember leg press, one of my favorite exercises personally again. We stacked it up. We did a 200 kg leg press, and the pump you got from it. I remember getting off after I fell over. I was like, nah, I'm done. That was me. But that was only the we were only about three exercises in, and that was the fourth set, the third exercise, and I was crawling towards the next gym door. But that would be my. It's just a pump of it. You just feel, it's horrible, but you just. It needs to be trained.
What you should be saying to yourself. It's not about why should be training it. It should be you have to train it if you want that.
Exactly.
Because if you think about it, competitors, bodybuilding, competitive pros.
You've never let's look at the more competitiveness. Have you ever seen let's go for example, Artis Watkins, like, probably. In my opinion, the greatest bodybuilder of all time. You ever see him go up in a show and you see his upper body and it's ripped and it's massive? Have you ever looked at his legs and thought, yeah, Arnie, you need to go again, Mitch? I mean, you've never had to say that because it's the effectiveness. It's not you. What you've literally just said, it's not what you want to, but you need to train them. You can't avoid them. You can avoid them for so long, but eventually you will look like a chicken. Eventually, you'll look like a chicken. You'll be walking around going, my God.
Like for us, we do whatever it takes to get the body that we want.
And for it, we cook to our own brand ourselves. You have to push your limits.
Yeah.
We may say it a lot. If you follow us on Instagram, Facebook, or YouTube, you may see it a lot, but it goes with that and with life. You need to push yourself. If your limit is stuck at a certain point, you're never going to get anywhere above that because you've already, in your own mind, you've set yourself that this, for deadlift, our biggest deadlift for a bulk was our biggest deadlift was 300 kg.
Yeah.
But if we for the rest of our lives, I'm 22, Mark here, he's old, he may as well be 40, he's 25. He's 25 at the moment.
I'm joking.
I would never forget your age. Last time I'd buy you for birthday for an I really went bankrupt. But if we for the rest of our lives set that we're not going to get above 300 kg on a deadlift, then we should never do it again in that respect, because we've set ourselves a limit on that. Life is limitless, so you should never dishonor yourself with that.
Yeah, but when it comes to another exercise that I feel is really effective, and it doesn't have to be high weight. Mm-hmm. It's actually lunges with the dumbbells.
Dumbbell lunges, amazing worker, but at the same, it's such a feeling of it.
Your hamstrings and all tighten up.
But that's the great thing of it. It works a lot of muscle grips. And it's so simple.
Yeah.
You may look, like, I remember in a gym years ago, another story from old times. I feel like I'm 40 here. Oh, God. I used to see people do lunges and think to myself, going, how is that benefiting you? I kind of had a feel it might be to do with legs sort of thing, but at the same time, I was saying, I was doing a bench press, and I was like thinking to myself, going, I thought it was naive of me at the time, but I thought to myself, going, you kind of look a bit stupid. But now, that was me being young, and as you know yourself, age comes wisdom. I now value lunges as one of the best workouts if you're going for a simple workout that does and works a lot of muscle groups, as I've said.
Yeah, it is. You have to do whatever it takes to get it done.
Push yourself.
Because If I went in a session and I was my time was a bit later, my meal, what am I gonna do? I'd rather get that session done and not focusing on that. There, I bring the meal with me. We carry our meals with us anywhere, everywhere we go. But that's the bodybuilding life these days, isn't it?
You have to be able to push yourself in those respects. And as he's just said himself there, if you come to a point where you're a bit late on time, just like cool bags, you can buy a cool bag on eBay. I personally have a Gold Gym pure cold bag on eBay. I got it off eBay for £34. Do you know what I mean? You may look at it and think, well, it's a lot for a bag, but the amount that you'll get out of that, £34, is absolutely nothing to the benefits you'll get from it. And it's a lifestyle that sometimes you think to yourself, go on, I could do without this so much. If I didn't put all the effort to do into this, maybe I could relax more, I could go out with friends more, things like that. But if you're like me, who's a bit like a hermit at this point, then it's so much better in that respect. But you can work it out both ways with it, Mark.
But then you wouldn't be feeling as good if you were just sitting there.
Exactly.
But prepping is really important.
Meal prep is personally, in my opinion, probably the worst part about this entire thing. But at the same time, the work you do in the gym is only 20%. Everything else is on the dinner table.
Yeah.
The work you do in the kitchen, 80% of that will get to where you need to be. But that's a misconception. Another misconception about all this. People think if you go to the gym 5-6 days a week and train out, then you go home and eat all you want. I mean, you'll get in shape. But that's not true. Mark, what would be your meal prep? What day would you meal prep? And during the week, would you meal prep for 5-6 days ahead, or would you go full week ahead?
Sometimes we'll go about 3 days.
3 days.
Three days. Sometimes. Okay. It depends what I think, because it's that day. Like, I don't know what my calories are going to be like.
Yeah.
Because my body could get too used to 1900 calories,
which comes into the point we made before about trying to trick the body, and how about if you're over one day or if you're under one day, you can trick it that way. But what would be your meal? Would you switch it up with your meal prepping on what you have, what you make, for that sort of basis, or would you kind of see how it goes?
I would see how it goes, how I feel. It's not even really about how I'm looking.
Mm-hmm.
It is a certain extent, but it's more to do how I'm feeling. If I'm feeling that too bloated, then I'm going to change up, because I find myself, the only carbs that I personally take, these are the carbs that I take. I would take oats in the morning, oatmeal, and I would take some sweet potato, rice. They're all my carbs, and maybe in the morning, just like 2 slices of bread, they're a little carb, a banana. That's all my carbs. I don't take nothing else.
Which to some people might shock them.
Yeah, because I try to minimize them. Carbs are important, but I try to keep good carbs than bad carbs.
Keep them to a limit.
Yeah.
And then try and prioritize the ones that are beneficial. So, Mark, what supplements would you take on them? Is there any particular supplement that you're taking at the moment, or ones you've taken in the past that you would highly recommend?
So the first ever actually protein I took was actually called Maxi Muscle.
Maxi Muscle. I remember taking that myself, actually, a few times before.
It was the green labeled one.
Yes, I know what you mean. I remember what you mean.
But that was a really good one. It wasn't too high in the calories, but proteins these days seem to be too very high in the calories, but it is important.
Right.
I think back then when I started, they weren't really important. They were like minimized a bit.
They weren't looked upon how they're looked of today.
Like my personally, supplements can be effective.
Massively, as we've talked about before, they can massively. If you can't get those amount of food in with food, then it can help you massively if you're down a bit. But as you've said before in your spec and how you've made points of it, food. A protein shake cannot replace how important food is. And you wanted to touch on that, didn't you?
Food is more important than a protein supplement, because you'd rather take it from natural foods. If you can get the natural foods, take them than the shake. If you're in the house and you're saying, oh, I can't be bothered
cooking this,
I'll just take a shake.
Which is up to your opinion. If you want to do that, we're not going to say to you at any point that that's bad. But what we've just said, you can't replace a physical food with a protein shake. It's just how that is.
But you got to understand as well, the market, it's a profit. It's what people want to make money off. It's kind of
a symbolism to our current society. It's like Jay Cutler, for example, great bodybuilder, amazing. Like I've seen comments of commercials he's done before, prioritizing and just kind of saying how if you take this, yada 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 sort of thing, it will massively increase. But that may not be what he acts. It may be what he takes, but you see it out there. Majority of people are they're selling you a dream. They're selling you a dream of a look, of a build, of a protein. But that protein shake that for example, not Jay Cutler, but just other bodybuilders take, will not get you. You're not going to take that one morning and wake up the next morning the shape of Jay Cutler. And that's not dissing Jay Cutler. I massively respect Jay Cutler. The things he's done for the business is absolutely amazing. But that's just it's a profit making business. They're paying someone to market a product for them. that may not be what he takes, but that's just the world we live in, unfortunately. But I think people are nowadays are coming to the realization of that is just unfortunately how it is, and people are smartening up to, if you, like, for example, if you have the product and the ability to make your own protein shake, and the amount of details you have to go into, I'd highly recommend it, but people don't have that ability now some days. What's your opinion on that, Mark, in today's profit making of it?
It's obviously a money game, but obviously bodybuilding is money. Everything that involves in it is to do with money.
If you're getting into it thinking this will be a cheap way of getting somewhere, then you're highly, highly wrong.
Like me achieving, getting the body I want, the way I'm looking at the minute, and yourself, it's been a long journey.
Like, we were in Connor, we were, if you looked at, if you see us walking down the street, you maybe look at us and think, maybe they're not, you'd think, okay, they're in good shape, compared to maybe how you looked a bit, but that's not a diss to you, that's maybe just how you feel about yourself at the time. You may look at us and think we're in better shape than most, but we would look ourselves and think, compared to what we were years ago, I remember I used to, like, going back in my personal story, I used to weigh 21 stone, I was 15 years old, which is obesely heart attack territory, but I changed myself. But compared to that, that just shows dedication, but that just shows that you can do it. But compared to that, if you looked at me then, looked at me now, you think I'm in great shape, but I still think to myself going, I need that next level, I need that next buzz that I can get to where I want, like, where I'll be then heavily satisfied. But that then changes up when you go into cutting season and bolting season. So Mark, any other major protein suggestions you'd have on that subject? Things that can help you?
At the minute I used to 100% whey of biotech. Mm-hmm. Really good supplement.
Where did you get that, Mark?
I got it out of NI Supplements. Shout out to you guys. Brilliant supplement store.
Amazing. And plus it's in Belfast, so if you ever need it, you can always look them up. They're on the website. Shout out to them.
Peter and Adam, shout out to you.
Great guys all down the earth. Not what you would really expect, really, from if you own a protein-based shop. Only you'd maybe think they're maybe high and mighty to a point, but they're great guys and highly recommend. And if you're ever looking protein, you're in Belfast, that would I would heavily suggest to you. And you've seen bodybuilders using them before. They're massive. They can massively help you. But on that subject, Mark, would you, anything you'd like to end it with on subjects at the end?
I would like to end it, like, say, make sure always count your food before supplements is important. But yeah, guys, this is the end of our podcast for today.
Thank you all for listening, and we hope to see you in episode 3. It'll be coming soon. I'm probably going to say it'll be out in the next week or two. But until then, push your limits, and thank you all for listening.
Push your limits. But I love it.